greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let hope arise. Let all agree. There's no power like His power. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain.
Introducing a new song today that talks about this power of Jesus that deliver us and that carries us through. Amen.
Praise His name. Hallelujah.
lady. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, we're going to declare that this, our house, is a house of miracles, where the Lord moves. Holy Spirit, you have complete freedom in our lives. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. This is a house of worship. This is a place of praise, where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name. This is a house of
everything.
I believe it. If you have a miracle that you are clinging to, that you need, press in this morning and say, Lord, I need that miracle. And we can find it here in you, Jesus. We find it here in you, Jesus. God's people said, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, amen. You may turn and greet one another, and you may be seated.
Hey everyone, we are so glad you're joining us. Whether you are with us online or in person, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit hgchurch.com.
If you'd like to give, you can visit us at hgchurch.com. Click on Give at the top of the page or use the Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving or give at any time using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect Desk. We love you, Harvest Time Church, and have an amazing week.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Korfeld, and I'm the Missions Director here at Harvest Time. Please enjoy the following greeting from one of the many missionaries and mission organizations we support. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and gift.
Well, good morning, Harvest Time. I'm Mark Gardner. Kim and I, we are your missionaries, and we're getting ready to go back over to Polynesia, island of Viti-Levu in Fiji, next month. During this month of September, we are packing up a shipping container that has fire Bibles in it, a crusade tent, kids camp supplies, and Sunday school and children's church curriculum, which you guys have graciously provided $10,000 so that we could buy this stuff. We're going to places where they don't know that children can be born again or have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so a part of shifting that whole mindset involves the training and the outreaches, but also putting curriculum into their hands, stuff that they can use that will challenge them. Unfortunately, most churches don't even have any curriculum, and what they do have doesn't challenge the leaders. So this comes as a huge blessing to our church partners over there in Polynesia. Praise the Lord. One of the tools that we're working with, School of Supernatural Children's Ministries by Kids in Ministry International, challenges the leaders there to see their kids born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and discipled in the gifts of the Spirit. Many of the countries using that school and online training have seen great results. And so it's already proven the ones that we're working with over in Fiji, we're seeing those children praying for the sick, praying in tongues, being used in the prophetic ministry. And so this curriculum that you have so graciously provided helps us to build on that. And we can't thank you enough. Thank you so much. Please keep us in prayer as we head out.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Welcome to Harvest Time. We are so glad that you've come to worship the Lord with us this morning. Didn't our worship team do a great job in leading us into the Lord's presence today? How many of you know that the Lord did bring us out of our Egypt? Amen. I love that. And we also want to welcome everybody who's worshiping with us online this morning. If that's you, if you're worshiping with us on YouTube, we want to say good morning and God bless you. Do make sure that you subscribe and hit the little bell so you get notified whenever we post a video or whenever we go live. We are into the fall now. September is here. I want to remind everybody that our children's ministries have started up again for the fall on Sunday mornings. In the 9 o'clock service, we've got ministry for kids from birth up to age 4. And in this service, we have ministry for kids all the way up through the 5th grade. We have nursery care for your infants and toddlers in all of our services. Also, we've resumed our Sunday morning life groups for our middle school and high school students, grades 6 through 12. That's taking place right about now. Actually, right about 11 o'clock is when those groups meet. In just a few moments, the ushers will be coming to wait on us for our giving, and we do want to thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. Your tithe is the first 10% of what God has entrusted to you during this week that's gone by. Do you know that the Lord encourages us to give in His Word? Moses said, listen to this, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the ability to produce wealth in order to confirm His covenant. That's a good word. It's the desire of God's heart to bless His people. There's an envelope in your program today, and you can use that envelope to give in a few different ways. You can give by a check made payable to Harvest Time Church. You can give using a debit card or credit card. If you are giving that way, we just ask that you make sure you provide us with complete information, including the security code. That's a help to us. If you're giving cash this morning and you'd like to receive credit for your giving, please make sure that we have all of your information. Lots of people, of course, nowadays are giving online. Giving online is something you can do anytime. It's very safe and it's very easy to do. Just use our Realm app or visit our website at htchurch.com. When you go to the website, you'll see a giving link right on the top of the homepage, and you can use that link to make a one-time gift. Or if you prefer, you can set up regular giving through that link as well, and lots of people are choosing to give that way. Some folks do like to give by text as well, and instructions as to how to give that way are on the screens for you. Just before the ushers come to wait on us, a couple of things for you very quickly. All of our new life groups have launched during this past week, and if you haven't already done so, we hope that you'll jump into a group with us. We've got a number of new Bible studies, prayer groups, groups for men, groups for women, couples, young adults, senior adults, and lots of different interest groups available to you. We've got groups meeting on different days of the week, different evenings, and different locations as well. On Wednesday evenings, Wednesday is Family Life Night. That's the night that here at the church, all of our kids and teens programs will be running at 7 o'clock. Pastor Glenn is leading HT Basics, and that's for anyone who's interested in exploring the basics of the Christian faith. Our friend Giancarlo Ochoa is leading HT Discover. Discover is designed to introduce new people to HTC and help them find their place in our church family. I'm teaching a Bible study called Encountering Jesus, where we dig into the Word and see how Jesus' coming was predicted by the prophets. There are other Bible studies, groups for men, women, professional women's group on Wednesday as well. It's still very early in the fall semester, so if you weren't able to be with us this past Wednesday, still plenty of time, still very easy to jump into a group. You can search for groups on our Realm app or just go to the website. There is a Life Groups link on the top of the homepage, and when you click on that, it'll take you to a search box where you can search for a group that's right for you. You can search by day of the week or what type of group that you're looking for. Just before the ushers come, one other thing, and it's delicious. We have a community garden here at HTC. If you didn't know that, it's 100% staffed by volunteers. And the produce from that garden goes to feed people in our area through the Neighbor to Neighbor organization. And we want to let you know that today we have some vine-ripened tomatoes that are out there that you can check out. You can sample the garden and see how good it is for yourself. Our garden is behind a phase one in that direction, so check that out. Maybe you'll be able to take some special. We got to work on the branding. I don't know, are they Harvest Time succulents or something? I don't know what we're going to call them, but we'll see. All right, going to invite the ushers to come and wait on us now for our giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite the Father's blessing upon us and upon the seed that we're about to sow into His kingdom. Father, we come to you in Jesus' beautiful name this morning. We thank you for all of your provision for your people, Lord. God, we know that you showed us the true meaning of loving and giving when you gave Jesus your only son. And now, together with Jesus, Father, you continue to freely give us all things. Lord, with joyful hearts, we're coming to you this morning, returning the tithe, and we bring you our gifts for the work of missions, and we bring you our gifts for our building fund. Father, we ask that you would take and multiply everything that's being sown here today. Lord, would you allow these gifts to meet the needs of your house and enable us to take Jesus' love here to our region in Westchester and Fairfield counties and indeed all over the world. Father, would you prosper your faithful people in the week that's ahead as we place our trust in you. If you agree with that, would you say amen and amen. God bless you, everybody, as you give today.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Am I on here? Okay, here we go. God bless you. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. Welcome to Harvest Time. We are so glad that you're here today. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be flipping through the book. I'm going to cherry pick some verses for you because there's a running theme that I want to bring out. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Going to start reading in verse 3 while you find your way there. Just need to deal with the housekeeping matter. Sorry to bore you with this, but last week, in between the two services and at the start of our second worship service, our 10:30 service, we had a popcorn maker downstairs in the fellowship hall, and it set off the fire alarm. And so we knew what the problem was. We removed the popcorn maker from the building right away. But it was my call not to evacuate the building. And that was the wrong call. So we actually were supposed to leave the building and wait for the fire department to give us the all clear. Because we knew there wasn't an emergency, because we knew what the problem was, we went on. But it makes it a little confusing for our children's ministries and all of our leaders all over the building. And so now it was 20 years ago that last happened on a Sunday morning in the old sanctuary. So I'm trusting it won't happen for 20 more years and someone else will be your pastor 20 years from now, okay? But if it does happen between now and 20 years from now, if the fire alarm should go off again, we will evacuate the building and we will wait for the fire department to let us know it's safe to come back inside. And so I'm just saying that so everybody hears it, all of our ministry leaders, all of our leaders, and we're all on the same page, okay? While we're doing housekeeping, I just want to say something to parents who have infants or small toddlers. If they're here in the sanctuary and they decide to make a joyful noise during the sermon, okay? You know, the Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord. The Bible also says the Lord is in the holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him, okay? So if during the sermon your baby is just a little joyful and testifying, we have quiet rooms right here in the sanctuary. You can slip into a quiet room. You can still hear. You can still see. We have a wonderful nursery staff downstairs. We have a brand new room. Somebody donated money to dress up a room for our moms and young children. And so, yeah, that's amazing. So listen, if your baby's testifying during the sermon, you will be asked to just find a quiet place. And we thank you in advance for complying with that. All right, you good? All right, that's a way to start a sermon right there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 3. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. Paul says to Timothy, his spiritual son, I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer. The goal of this command is love. Verse 5. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart. Look at Paul's words. And a good conscience and sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and have turned to meaningless talk. Now jump down to verse 18 of chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you might fight the battle well. Look at verse 19. Holding on to the faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Flip with me or scroll with me if you're using an app to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Flipping in your paper Bible is faster than scrolling. You need to have a paper Bible backup for when the Antichrist shuts down the internet, all right? So have a backup with you at home. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 8. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. Look at verse 9 of 1 Timothy 3. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear or a clean conscience. All right, last scripture. Flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 or scroll to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit clearly says in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Let's talk for a few minutes today about keeping a clean conscience, keeping a clean conscience. So a man was wrestling with a guilty conscience. So he decided to go to confession for the first time in a very long time. He started, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I stole a few pieces of lumber from a construction site. It wasn't the worst thing that the priest had ever heard by far. So he said to the man, and what did you do with the lumber, my son? The man replied, my mother-in-law's wheelchair ramp was broken, so I repaired it. The priest responded, "Well, at least you did some good with it." The man continued, "Wait, Father, I had some wood left." The priest said, "And what did you do with that?" The man answered, "My dog was cold, so I built him a doghouse." "Well, I suppose you still did good with it," said the priest. "But Father, I had more wood left." "And," said the priest. The man replied, "My car was cold, so I built it a two-car garage." "Now that's a stretch," the priest chided. "Father, I still had some wood. My wife always wanted a bigger house, so I built her an addition." Whoa. Now that's too much. You're going to have to make a novena for penance. Do you know how to make a novena?" Instantly, the man's face brightened. He said, "No, Father, but if you give me the plans, I have plenty of wood." Let's talk about conscience for a few minutes today. We've been sharing Paul's first letter to his son in the Lord, Timothy. We've come to the end of 1 Timothy, but before we move on to the next letter, I just want to go back and highlight some themes that run through this letter. And one of the themes is the theme of conscience. I want to share a few thoughts with you today about conscience from 1 Timothy. On your way in, you received a program, and in your program, there's an outline of the sermon. If you like, you can listen, watch the screens, follow along, fill in the blanks. If you'd like to have a copy at home of the sermon outline, there's a link to a PDF file in the chat section of the live stream, and you can download an outline of the sermon. A few thoughts about conscience from 1 Timothy. First of all, what is our conscience? What is our conscience? In the New Testament, the word conscience means I know something about myself. The word picture is to take a witness stand in court and to testify about myself, whether good or bad. Conscience is that little voice inside of us that tells us what is morally right and morally wrong. Conscience implores us to do what's right, and it pleads with us to resist doing what's wrong. Conscience commends us if we make the right choice, and it condemns us if we make the wrong choice. Conscience either absolves us or it accuses us. Conscience either praises us or it punishes us. Writing to the Christians in the city of Rome, St. Paul said that conscience is both innate and universal. What does that mean? It means everybody, everywhere has a conscience. Conscience is God's moral law woven into the fabric of our human being. It's not God's voice speaking to us directly, but it's our own human spirit speaking to us based on what God has stamped deep down inside of us. It's evidence that we are made in the image of God. Someone said conscience is God's gift to us, an irrefutable testimony of his existence. Somehow we just innately know that it's wrong to lie, but we do it anyway. We know inside that it's wrong to steal. We already know it's wrong to cheat. It's wrong to be disloyal. It's wrong to break confidences. It's wrong to be an aggressor. It's wrong to be promiscuous. We know inside that it's wrong to disrespect our parents. Listen, if you have to sneak around to do it, you shouldn't be doing it unless you're planning a surprise birthday party that you can do. You know, all you have to do is study the behavior of small children, and their body language says it all. They know what they do. When our first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God, they were immediately conscience-stricken, and they tried to hide what they had done, and we still do the same. When our twins were two, they got into the baby powder one day. Seasoned parents know that when it gets too quiet, you should investigate immediately. Unfortunately, we were not yet seasoned parents. By the time we made it to the twins' room, they were having a grand old time, and they had managed to extract a full metric ton of baby powder out of a 22-ounce container. What a holy mess. It took us hours to clean baby powder out of bedding and curtains and out of the carpet and out of the kids. They were laughing with delight until they got caught red-handed, and then they tried to hide the crime scene. There's nothing here to see. And you know, we do the same thing. Someone once said a conscience is what hurts when all your other parts feel so good. A few thoughts about conscience from 1 Timothy. What is our conscience? And then what happens when we act against our conscience? What happens when we act against our conscience? I just want to warn you right now, today is not a feel-good sermon. I love preaching feel-good sermons. I could preach them all day long. Today isn't one of them. But I hope it's a get-better sermon. Somehow, sometimes you know that in order to get better, we have to endure some things that don't feel good. A shot doesn't feel good, but it helps us get better. Surgery doesn't feel good, but it helps us get better. And I hope that this will help you get better, because if you get better, you'll feel better. What happens when we act against our conscience? In 1 Timothy, there is a digression of conscience. There is a digression that happens when we deliberately violate our conscience. In chapter 1, verse 6, Paul warns Timothy about leaders who have wandered away from a clean conscience. Started with just some small compromises that they didn't intend to go too far. They thought it would be short-lived. They didn't intend to go so far away from the straight and narrow or stay away too long. I'll just try it this once. I'll go along with it this once. I'll join in just this once. My father-in-law always says, sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. It will make you stay longer than you ever wanted to stay, and it'll make you pay longer than you ever wanted to pay. You think tithing is expensive? Try sin. In chapter 1, verse 19, wandering away digresses to a rejected good conscience. Now we've upped the ante. There is a consistent, deliberate pattern of suppressing conscience and acting against its good counsel. There's an intentional movement in the opposite direction. If conscience says go east, we go west. If conscience said stop and make a U-turn, we put the pedal to the metal and we go straight on. And then in chapter 4, verse 2, rejecting the conscience digresses to a seared conscience. That word seared means cauterized. It means to seal it closed. It means to kill all feeling and all function. In Titus 1:15, Paul calls it a corrupted conscience. It is a non-functioning conscience. It doesn't work anymore. So what happens to us when we ignore our conscience and we continue to act against it? What are the long-term consequences of a violated conscience? For one thing, a guilty conscience robs us of mental, emotional, and physical well-being. A guilty conscience will make you feel sick. I like what Pastor Greg Laurie says. He says a lot of people feel guilty because they are guilty. King David knew something about that. He suffered from a guilty conscience a time or two. One time King Saul was sleeping in a cave, and David snuck in and cut a piece of the king's robe off. He did it to prove that he didn't have any treasonous intent toward his king. King Saul was hunting for David to kill him. David could have killed Saul on that occasion, but he didn't. And yet, after he cut the robe, his conscience was stricken. He realized that he had vandalized the symbol of the king's authority. At that point in David's young life, his conscience was so tender that he repented to the Lord for what he had done. On another occasion, David took a census of his army, something God forbade Israelite kings to do. Beloved, listen to me. In God's economy, it doesn't matter the size of your army. It matters the size of the God who is fighting for you. The United States would do well to remember that, and so would China and Russia. But David was conscience-stricken over what he had done. Worst of all was when David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he plotted to cover up the resulting pregnancy by having Bathsheba's husband killed on the battlefield. David hid that. He sat on it until he was confronted by the prophet Nathan. And this is what David wrote in Psalm 32 about the torments of a guilty conscience. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are atoned for. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord doesn't count against him. Listen, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. In his great prayer of repentance for that incident with Bathsheba, recorded in Psalm 51, David said, "My sin is always before me." David couldn't forget what he had done. He couldn't get out of his mind, and the guilt was robbing him of his peace. A guilty conscience is a constant tormentor. It captivates our thoughts. It eats away at our self-worth. It chips away at our self-confidence. It makes us paranoid. It makes us suspicious. Shakespeare wrote, "Suspicion always haunts the guilty mind." A guilty conscience prevents us from feeling carefree and at ease. It deprives us of sound sleep. It saps our very strength. What if the root of a lot of the rampant anxiety going around today is a guilty conscience problem? See, we can't break God's moral laws and expect to get away with it scot-free. There is an internal price to pay. Because we've been naughty, we feel guilty. And because we're guilty, we have anxiety. And because we're guilty, we're angry. Now listen, I'm not suggesting that a guilty conscience is the cause of all anxiety. Not at all. But it may be a contributing factor for some or even for many. And if we can peel away that layer of it, get rid of it, we might be able to see an improvement in all of the rest. That's good right there. What of all the self-medicating that people are doing with alcohol and with cannabinoids and with other things, even nicotine, even caffeine? What if all of the self-medicating is to dull the inner pain inflicted by a guilty conscience? Wouldn't it just be so much easier to get your heart right with God? And it's so much more satisfying. In 1 Timothy, Paul calls the gospel healthy. The gospel, it leads to a sound mind. It leads to sound emotions. It leads to a healthy body. What are the concepts? You doing all right? All right. You might not be for much longer. What are the consequences of an ignored, violated conscience? A guilty conscience ruins our prayer life. St. Paul told Timothy that leaders in the church must hold on to the faith with a clean conscience. He said, if they do this, they will gain great assurance in their faith. That means that when they pray with confidence. They pray with assurance that God is listening and God will act on their behalf. St. James wrote that when a double-minded man prays, when a double-minded person is someone who's pulled in both directions, his heart is full of doubt. James says that person shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. But the prayers of righteous people are powerful and effective. St. John said, "Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God and we receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and we do what pleases him." You see, a guilty conscience, it blocks us from experiencing God's presence in prayer. It prevents us from feeling his love, his mercy. It prevents us from hearing his voice. It prevents us from receiving good things from him. We feel ashamed to ask him, and we feel unworthy to receive. But when our conscience is clean, we're as bold as lions in prayer. The Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and mercy. And no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. What are the consequences of an ignored, violated conscience? All right, fasten your seatbelt because I'm coming. But I would listen to me. This is critically, this is the most important part of everything I have to say that's right here. A guilty conscience destroys the content and the potency of our faith. There is an inextricable link between conscience and faith. Our conscience has a direct bearing on what we believe and how strongly we believe it. If you don't hear anything else I say today, please hear this. If you ignore your conscience, if you act against it, if you continue violating it, eventually you will end up changing what you believe. You will exchange God's truth for the devil's deception. That's Romans chapter 1. If your beliefs don't shape your behavior, ultimately your behavior will shape your beliefs. You doing all right? A guilty conscience creates inside of us what is called cognitive dissonance. That means that inside our mind and our emotions and our heart, we can't handle the conflict between what we believe and how we've behaved. At that point, we either have to change our behavior or we have to change our beliefs. Something's got to go because we can't live with this inner turmoil any longer. And listen, if we refuse to give up the behavior, we will surrender our beliefs. A guilty conscience causes a regression in our Christian walk. It makes us stumble, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It can lead to a loss of faith entirely. In this digression of conscience in 1 Timothy, Paul says that those who first wandered away from a clean conscience turned to meaningless talk. Says they want to be teachers, but they have no idea what they're talking about. On the surface, it sounds spiritual, but it's opposed to the gospel that promotes good health. Paul said it's the talk of those who are sacrilegious, who disrespect parents, who are sexually immoral, who are dishonest, who mistreat others. And then he says those who reject a clean conscience make a shipwreck of their faith. Paul uses the words "the faith," meaning the content of what they believe. The result, Paul says, is that they are handed over to Satan. They leave the sphere of God's loving care and protection, of God's guidance, of his provision, and they're exposed to the harassments and temptations of our enemy. And then those whose consciences have become seared become pupils and then purveyors of doctrines taught by demons. The great reformer John Calvin said, "A bad conscience is the mother of all heresies." The Book of Concord, which is the catechism of the Lutheran Church, says, "Faith cannot exist and abide alongside of a wicked intention to sin and to act against conscience." Beloved, please listen to me. Faith and a guilty conscience, they cannot exist. They can't coexist side by side with one another. A clean conscience is critical to walking and finishing our journey in God's truth. St. John said, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we're deceived and the truth isn't in us. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. A clean conscience is necessary to stay in fellowship with God, and it's necessary to stay in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the family of God. A guilty conscience will pull you away from church. A clean conscience enables us, I like this, to wage spiritual warfare in the world. Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, holding on to the faith and a clean conscience. If you have a clean conscience, you can fight the devil. A clean conscience enables us to withstand persecution for Christ's sake. Persecution is here and more is on the way, I'm telling you. But we can withstand it if we have a clean conscience. On trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin, Paul looked straight at them and he said, brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God. I have acted in all good conscience. If we know that we've been faithful to the Lord's direction in our life, we can leave the outcomes of persecution in his hands. Thank you for that golf clap. A clean conscience enables us, I like this, to remain confident when our motives are questioned by others or when we're falsely accused. St. Peter said, keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. This weekend, we're remembering the life of Queen Elizabeth II, but her namesake, Queen Elizabeth I, said this, a clear and innocent conscience fears nothing. What are the consequences of an ignored, violated conscience? A guilty conscience diminishes our capacity to love others, especially those who are closest to us. Beloved, listen to me. A guilty conscience, it alienates us from people. It makes us withdraw. It makes us become isolated. A guilty conscience destroys intimacy in marriage. King Solomon said, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. What are the consequences of an ignored, violated conscience? A guilty conscience is an awful foretaste of eternal condemnation. John Calvin said, the torture of a bad conscience is the hell of a living soul. You know, Jesus said that among the horrible torments of hell is emotional anguish. I think one of the most painful emotions is regret, lament, wishing you could go back and undo something, wishing you could take something back, wishing you could do it over again differently. Those who miss heaven will experience the agony of regret forever. As my friend Jackson Sinyonga says, I don't say this to scare you, I say this to terrify you. But here's the good news. Everything that's true about a guilty conscience, the precise opposite is true of a clean conscience. A clean conscience fosters mental and emotional and physical health. A clean conscience gives us inner peace, inner joy, inner confidence. A clean conscience propels our prayer life. It promotes our growth in faith. It enables us to love others better, especially our family, our spouses. A clean conscience gives us a sweet foretaste of the glory that awaits us in the presence of God. Jacob Arminius said, a good conscience is paradise. Benjamin Franklin said, a good conscience is a continual Christmas. How many of you like Christmas? How many of you like continual Christmas? Keep a clean conscience. So that brings us to our last thought about conscience. What is conscience? What happens when we act against it? Finally, this, how do we obtain and maintain a clean conscience? How do we obtain and maintain a clean conscience? Beloved, listen to me. Here is what will not relieve a guilty conscience. Burying it will not work. It won't stay buried. Medicating a guilty conscience will not work. Trying to appease a guilty conscience by making up for it, by doing good deeds, good works over here, somewhere else, it doesn't work. You can't cancel out a guilty conscience by doing something nice for somebody else. Doesn't happen that way. Sinking into victimhood, sinking into self-pity, excusing, it won't work. Listen to me, religious rituals will not cleanse a guilty conscience. Hebrews chapter 9. The writer of Hebrews says, if the blood of bulls and goats could have relieved a guilty conscience, there would have been no need for the sacrifice of Christ. There is only one thing that can cleanse a guilty conscience, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for us. And the prophet Isaiah, God says, let's settle this thing. Let's settle it now. Though your sins are scarlet purple, I will make them white as snow. Though they are crimson red, I will make them as white as wool. The way to cleanse a guilty conscience is to confess our sins to God and to receive the forgiveness offered through Jesus Christ. St. John said, I don't want you all to sin, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And if we, I want you to say this verse with me because you know it. And if we confess, come on, say it with me. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? Say it again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a moment of faith. There's a moment of believing on Jesus. There's a moment of reaching out to him, calling on him. And in that moment, I can't explain it to you. I can just tell you what happens. In that moment, our sins are lifted off of us. Guilt is washed away. Internal pain is healed. Our minds are transformed. Our spirits, our hearts are transformed. Jesus said, but what happens in that moment is so radical that it's like being born all over again. St. Paul said, we become a new creation. He has removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. Used to fly to Hong Kong on my way to teach at a Bible school in Malaysia, and we'd leave JFK and we'd fly right up over Canada and right over the North Pole, and after we went up over the North Pole, we'd start going south again. You see, you can only go north so far before you start going south. You can only fly south so far before you start flying north again. But if you get on a plane and try to circumnavigate the globe, if you start flying east, you will keep flying east and east and east, and you will never fly west. If you fly west, you will fly west and west and west, and you will never meet the east again. That's what happens when God removes our sins away as far as the east is from the west. He takes our sins away from us and we never meet them again. I will be merciful toward their unrighteousness and I will remember their sins no more. And then to maintain a clean conscience, we commune with God in prayer and in the Bible. Beloved, listen to me. In order for your conscience to function properly, it has to receive the right input. Our conscience isn't foolproof. It can be off. It can get hung up on the wrong things, as Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, 10. Our conscience can fall short of God's standards. Paul writes about that in Romans 2. Ultimately, listen, we answer to God, we don't answer to ourselves. A clear conscience doesn't mean that you're necessarily in the clear with God. We have to align our conscience with the Word of God and then align our behavior to that. And we need the constant help of the Holy Spirit who guides us in the right thing to do in every moment and gives us the strength to do it. Listen, the Holy Spirit does more than just guide our conscience. He speaks to us directly. And He gives us the power to do what we need to do. The great revivalist Jonathan Edwards used this illustration, and I love it. Our conscience is like a sundial inside of us. A sundial only gives the proper reading in the light of the sun. You cannot read a sundial by the light of the moon. You can't read a sundial by the light of a street lamp or by the light of a flashlight. In the same way, our conscience only works properly in the light of God's Word illuminated by the Holy Spirit. The Word and the Spirit, that is our sun. World religions, moral philosophies, ethics, culture, social mores, they all have some light. They have some light, but they're lesser lights. They won't give an accurate reading. It's the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that guides our conscience the right way, and we keep a clean conscience by communing with Him. All right, how do we maintain? I'm almost done. How do we maintain a clean conscience? Worship team, you can help me finish. We need to lean into our relationships with our brothers and sisters in God's family. To maintain a clean conscience, make yourself accountable to a trusted friend or a leader. St. James wrote, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another and you'll be healed. Beloved, listen to me. The enemy uses secrets to keep us in prison. If there's an issue in your life, reach out for help. Reach out to a trusted friend. Don't reach out to a blabber, all right? Y'all know who the blabber are. We love the blabbers. They fill our life with fun and joy, but don't reach out to a blabber. Reach out to a trusted friend, confidant, a leader, Pastor Ruth, Pastor Nick, Pastor Kimmy, Pastor Kurt, Pastor Vivi, Pastor Denise. All of us, we're all here. I don't know who I forgot. I'm sorry, but we're all here. Did I say Pastor Nick? Reach out to Pastor Nick. Reach out to him twice. We're all here to help you. And receive the correction that trusted Christian friends and leaders give to you. Be humble. Be teachable. How do we maintain a clean conscience? I'll finish with this. We're done. Invite the Lord to search your heart daily. Many years ago, I decided to make David's prayer in Psalm 139 part of my daily prayer life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and test my thoughts. Search me, O God, examine my ways. See if there be any wicked thing in me, and lead me in the path of everlasting life. Make that part of your daily prayers, and if the Lord points anything at all out to you, confess it to Him. Receive His forgiveness, and then draw on His grace to live on in a better way. My prayer for you, everybody look at me. This is my prayer for you, that you would know the paradise of a clean conscience. I'm going to invite you to remain seated for just one moment. It's nice to see Pastor Nick at the piano, isn't it? There's an old hymn that was just playing in my heart all week as I was just before the Lord getting ready to bring this word to you. And I asked Pastor Nick if he would just play it for us. I just want to invite you, just sit back, relax, just listen to this beautiful old hymn.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, naught of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear and let nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure, habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear and let nothing between. Nothing between, like pride or like station, myself or my friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved. There's nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear and let nothing be.
Would you stand together with us? Would you like to try to sing that chorus with us? Let's sing it together. Just the chorus. You've heard it. The lyrics on the screen. Come on, let's sing it. Nothing between.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing.
Come on, would you sing it one more time? Nothing between.
Nothing between my soul and my Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor.
Bow your heads with me. We're going to let you go in just one moment. But you know, the first step to a clean conscience is to receive the forgiveness that Jesus purchased for us all on the cross. The way that we do that is by praying a prayer of believing on Jesus, receiving what he's done for us. I wonder if there's somebody here today and you've never prayed a prayer like that before. You've never had that moment, that experience where God washes you. Maybe there's someone today you're struggling with a guilty conscience. You can leave today clean, washed. Maybe there's someone here today and you prayed a prayer like that a long time ago, but a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then. Today's the day to pray it again for the first time in a long time. Come, let's settle this. Let's settle it now. Though your sins are purple like scarlet, I'll wash them whiter than snow. While your heads are bowed in this place, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but simply say a prayer to the Lord right where you are in your seat. you're here today and you'd like to pray a prayer of believing on Jesus with me for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time, would you just lift your hand real high where you are in your seat? You'd like to join me today in a prayer of believing on Jesus for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time. Hands all over. Come on, someone else you'd like to join us. I'd like to pray a prayer of believing on Jesus with us. Someone else. Lots of hands. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit's here right now. Listen, you don't have to struggle anymore with a guilty conscience. You don't have to have anxiety. You don't have to self-medicate anymore. I'm telling you, the power of Jesus can change everything, and he's here right now. I feel him. I'd like to pray a prayer believing on Jesus. Just slip your hand up real high where I can see it. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask everybody, if you're willing, would you lift your hands with me all over this place? I'm going to lead us in a prayer of believing on Jesus. And if you're willing, would you just say this prayer with me? Let's just go to him today. Let's pray. I'll lead, you follow in a nice, clear voice. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your only son, Jesus. Thank you for coming. You lived a perfect life for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I confess my sins. Forgive me. Wash me. Make me clean. Change my mind. Heal my emotions. Heal me inside. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Make me a new person. Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, would you give the Lord a good praise? Listen, I don't know who, but I know somebody got it today because I can feel it. I know somebody got it today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, we want to invite you to join us. There's a prayer room across the foyer right in that direction. Pastor Ruth, some of our other friends will be over there. And we just want to celebrate with you. We want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. We want to just give you some things that are going to help you walk on in your new journey in the Lord. Put your hand over your heart if you're willing. Sorry, we're way past time now. You don't even know what it means to be Pentecostal. When I was a kid, if we didn't have 2.5 hours, we hadn't been to church. So. Put your hand over your heart. Would you just pray David's prayer with me? Let's pray it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Examine my ways. See if there be any wicked thing in me. And lead me in the path of everlasting life. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your people that you love so much. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, we would just have tender consciences, clean consciences, Lord. Father, consciences guided by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that the joy of the Lord would overflow in our hearts this week. Lord, I pray the peace of Christ would just be with us. Father, I pray your protection. These days are crazy. I pray your protection over all of your people, over all of our students, Lord. Father, let your blood just cover us. Let your angels walk with us, Lord. Father, I pray that we just be with you until we come together again. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you, everybody. The worship team's going to sing us out. Have a great week in Jesus. If you want prayer, go over to the prayer room. God be with you.